this is all the things that they tell us that you're supposed to do again. And I'm doing a series on men and women in conversation. And today we're going to talk about, well, the title is Rapport Talk versus Report Talk. The title I wanted to put up there, but it had too many characters. They limited me to 40 characters, and this had more than that, was The Gift of Understanding versus The Gift of Advice. I like how it sounds better. I think that both have their place, and both are gifts that we give to one another. It's just that it seems that women seem to have the gift, more often have the gift of understanding, and men more often have the gift of advice. Just a brief review about what we talked about yesterday, because I wanted to make, you know, when you leave, some of you have maybe led discussions before, but whenever you leave a discussion, you always think, oh, I should have said that, and oh, I didn't make this clear. So I'm going to kind of backtrack just for a second to make a few things clear. In the 60s and the 70s, the women's movement came about, and one of the cries was, we are equal with men, and we can do the same. We can do the things that men can do, and we do not need to be at a separate level. We can be at the same level with men, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think, though, that's also what was heard, and I don't know if this is, and I don't believe that this was the message, but that was meant to be heard, but I've also heard that we are also the same. We are the same as men. And I don't agree with that message. I think women are different from men. And I think yesterday I tried to point that out in some of the psychology of women, that that we do develop in a different way than men do, that we have different needs, and that our focus and goal is different than men. And so whereas a woman's primary goal, it isn't her only goal, and I want to try and make that clear, that the woman's, it's not her only goal, but the primary goal is intimacy. The primary goal is to stay connected. The male's primary goal is independence, or to remain separate. So that if push comes to shove, a man will also become intimate and will strive for intimacy, but doing that with always the overriding fact of maintaining independence during that. A woman also will strive for independence and will attempt to be her own person and be separate in connection with the overriding umbrella of that is while staying connected. So those two things, again, they're not, one's not overriding the other. One is overriding the other, but it doesn't negate the other. There is the separateness and independence that a woman needs and wants, and there's also the intimacy and connection that a man needs and wants, but the independence and the intimacy are overriding for the different. Does that make sense to you? Okay, I'm trying to. All right, so what we talked about were the, yesterday, were intimacy versus independence, connection versus status, and community versus contest. What we're going to talk about in rapport versus report today is a lot of the top two. When we talk about the role of conflict, we'll probably get more into community and contest, but we'll touch on that today. I want to share a couple of things with you. While I was doing this workshop in another group for a church, a man brought in something that he had read from Ann Landers. And I'll read the article to you, and then I'll focus in on what, or just the letter to Dear Ann Landers. Dear Ann Landers, I sense a strong undercurrent of sexism in your column, but then every man but Adam had a mother to tell him how to act. Question, who gave women the authority to decide what was wrong with men? Maybe nothing is wrong. Maybe the real problem is that there is something wrong with women. In my college days, I often read men's magazines, and I don't remember a single article on what's wrong with women. In the future, I think you and others should acknowledge that there are two ways of looking at a situation, from a woman's point of view and from a man's point of view. This would make a great deal, be a great deal more sensible than telling men how to act. I'm not going to question, question one way or the other the what the man is saying there, but what I do want to emphasize is that I think that for conversation and for us to be able, if our goal is to communicate with one another, I think that we need to be able to look at the fact that we are looking at things from two different points of view, from a woman's point of view and from a man's point of view. And when we are conversing with one another, that's what's happening. That when I come and talk to you, Harry, I will be talking to you from a woman's point of view. And when you converse with me, you'll be talking from a man's point of view. There's no way around that. But knowing that what you're saying to me, maybe that different culture, will help me to take what you say to me less defensively, less of a way that may be negative, as opposed to trying to understand where you're coming from, and vice versa for you to be doing that with me. Yeah.
Nancy, would you agree that as you separate men and women wants abuse, that you can say there is a tendency,
yes,
toward this?
Right.
But
right, what I put up there are the opposite ends of a long continuum, that there's a lot of one way or the other.
Yeah, but there's so many women on the right-hand side and so many men on the left that it's pretty hard to generalize and say, this is the woman's point of view, this is the man's point of view. I'm saying there's a tendency among women to be stronger in these, a tendency in men to be stronger in these.
Right.
But that's about as far as I could go.
Okay, all right. Do you all agree with that, or is there?
Yeah, because otherwise it's so generalized, you know,
mm-hmm.
that every man has this point
right.
of view, or every woman has this
right.
point of view.
Yeah. And what, for my purposes, I agree that this is a very generalized statement, but I think if we can see it from a dichotomous point of view, and then be able to fit it in our own scheme, it will be easier for us to understand. So I agree with you that there's the tendency that not all women are like that, and some women maybe tend more toward independence.
I have a lot of problem with binary models of humanity, I'll tell you that much. But I also think that very sharp distinctions like that can sometimes help us to see things we might not otherwise see.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, a woman who seems to be very independent to you, you know, or to me, might in fact be also very anxious about that independence,
mm-hmm.
and not know where that anxiety is coming from, and might think it's because other people don't want her to be independent, but that in itself reveals a tie to the goal of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear of losing that. So, you know, I think it's worth looking at for that reason, because it might uncover things that are there, that other aspects of our experience, our personalities, our backgrounds, our class, where, what region we're from, what our parents were like, might tend to, you know, make it so complicated that we can't see where those things are there. And the whole purpose of this is not so much, I think, to define who men and women are, as to help us communicate.
Right. Right, and I think, and I want us to be able to keep that as our focus. That what we're trying to do here is enabling. If you have found in your past communications with men or women that it seems to be that you're not communicating, that the information or your feelings are not getting across, it could be because you're coming at it from a different point of view, that the woman could be coming at it from the point of view that I want to maintain connection, I want to maintain community with this person, I do not want to have separateness. That's because, again, when we talked about yesterday, the woman's the woman's psychology, the way she was, the way she was socially developed fostered that fusion. She stayed the same. She stayed connected with the primary caregiver, with her mother. Whereas the son, the male, had to become independent, be separate from the primary caregiver. And so his overriding concern is, I need to maintain that separateness, or otherwise I become fused with the caregiver. And I can't do that, because then I totally lose myself. So, but back to conversation.
Okay.
If there's more questions about that, or if there's more concerns about using this dichotomy, let's
Has it ever been brought to your attention that the way the caregiver, basically the mother, brought up the daughter and the son, that she might have brought them each up to be independent and eventually independent of her, so that this particular mother, son, and daughter were given the same thought, you can go out and do whatever it is that you wish to accomplish, and I want you to be independent.
And I think that, I agree, I think that that message can be given, but even physiologically, role model-wise, when you know that you are of the same sex as your mother, that primary caregiver, there's a connection that always remains. Whereas if you're a different sex from your caregiver, you have to separate from that person and reconnect to the male figure. So there's always going to be a different kind of separation. I think a mother can, you know, foster independence in both son and daughter, but there's always remains a different connection, I believe, because of the sex difference in that role. Rapport talk versus report talk. Do you read Kathy?
Mm-hmm.
She just comes up with some wonderful things. Kathy's talking to Simon, and she says, who's engaged to Simon? Her friend is engaged to Simon. What did people at work say when you told them about our wedding, Simon? Well, I didn't tell them, Charlene. What did you say? What did your friends say? Well, I didn't tell them. Who did you tell? I didn't tell anyone. Who did you hint to? I didn't hint. We've been engaged for 10 days and you haven't breathed a peep of this to anyone? No. And as she thinks, there's seething, she thinks, it's a wonder men don't explode. And I think women can really identify with that. And this is what we're talking about today, that we would explode if we could not share those kinds of things with other people. And it seems to us that men don't explode. There's just not that need to do that, to maintain that connection. Example, how many of you are married or share a household with an opposite sex person? Okay, all right. Or have at one time, perhaps, done that. Or if you've been close or have been in a relationship with the person of the opposite sex, you may come home from after the day and the woman, which stereotypically is at home, may say, or they may come home together from work and the woman would say, well, how was your day? And the man will say, what?
Okay.
All right, fine. And terrible. Or terrible, you know? And the man may or may not, if he really knows what's good for him, he will say, and how was your day? And the woman will say, she'll start telling him, well, this morning I got up and the toast was burned and the kids, you know, did this and I went to work and my boss was angry about this, you know, and whatever. And after a while, you know, the man sort of drifts away and out of it, or at least mentally drifts away with that. And the woman is just aghast when he comes in and says, well, how was your day? And he says, fine. And that's all he says. I can tell by the way you're laughing that you're understanding what I'm saying. That's uncomfortable for women. And again, I'm generalizing, but that is an uncomfortable thing when they don't tell you what the day was like.
You want communication.
Yeah.
But do you feel that if a male and a female, both coming home from work or achieve, if they have this wonderful open communication, is that a plus side to rapport rather than, well, you know, the gift of understanding, actually, that they have come to a place in time where they do understand these needs of each other and they do try to fulfill them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plus side.
Mm-hmm. I would say that in communication that you are maintaining a positive communication in that respect. That though the man may not feel the need to share all of the intimate details of his day, he recognizes that the woman does need that, needs to hear, needs to connect. If you don't, then your thought is, if you come home at the end of the day and you're not interested, and the man says, you know, nothing much, or, you know, I had a meeting with the boss, or whatever, and that's all that they say, your thought, the woman's thought behind that, at least my thought that I found in other women that I've talked to, has been, they don't care to share this with me. They don't care about me enough to share this information with me. When in fact, that is not necessarily the message that's coming across. The message that the man would be sending is what?
Not important.
Yes. Yes. It's not. This is not important to me. This is not something I feel is necessary to maintain connection with you. It has nothing to do with how connected they feel to you. It's just that I feel connected to you without doing that. For the woman, if she doesn't get that, she doesn't feel that, she feels a loss of that connection.
Tell me how typical is this woman? I have a very good friend, a lady, and I will call her up, and with the least excuse or reference, she will begin to tell me all the things she did during the day. So this could go on for 20 or 30 minutes with my not saying anything.
That's not connected.
And then I'm a little perturbed. We've about run out of time or something, and she may, as an afterthought, say, oh, and what did you do today or something? But more often than not, doesn't show that much interest in what I'm doing. Is that typical of women?
I don't think so.
But you know, there are narcissists everywhere, and people just like to monologue.
Okay.
Oh, that's a very good explanation.
Well, it may be more evident of the fact that she has no one else to talk to during the day.
That's awesome.
You know, that her need to talk. If she was talking with someone, you know, regularly. Maybe she wouldn't feel that needed. But I would agree. I would think that would be atypical, that the first question would be, how is your, you know, what are you doing? A woman often will begin with that query and then find nothing. And then she will report on her day. Yeah.
I found that since I'm retired and the wife is still working, that when I go to pick her up from work, that I will ask her, well, what happened to you that was exciting today?
Uh-huh.
And I don't get any answer.
Even that's not exciting then.
No, that's,
is she a brain surgeon? Is she doing anything exciting?
No,
I mean, what is she
doing?
Well,
she works in the healthcare field and this type of thing. And she works in a recovery room, so she does see a variety of cases that come in. But she doesn't want to talk about it.
Or
later on in the evening, you know, then we may talk about it. But basically, she never did and does not like to talk about the circumstances, you know, because it's
what
almost
does she like to talk about?
Well, then, you know, we'll get together on different things to talk about, but I guess it depends on, a little bit on the circumstances and depends on the vocation. Because she thinks that's privileged information, you know, if I talk about somebody's surgery or she tells me about somebody's surgery, well, I'm not interested in who it is, I'm interested in the details.
In those details. I'm wondering if, because your question to her is what exciting happened today? And so you're asking for a specific kind, you're not interested in whether Mary Jo was dating Dr. Bob or whether, whatever. But that, for your wife, those connections and those intimacies shared with one another may be of prime importance to her. Where for you, the prime importance is, you know, what are the stitches, you know, what kind of major accident, you know, happened. And so that, it could be at that point too that's not the important stuff for her.
Do you think it's a learned behavior that I have a teenage daughter and a teenage son, and my teenage daughter comes home from school and, you know, what'd you do today? And she tells me everything. My son comes home and it's like nothing. I can't get anything out of him. And same with my husband, Miguel. I think how's your day? And I usually am real verbal about what I did all day long. So I'm wondering if it is a learned kind of a...
Well, yeah, I don't think we come out of the womb with necessarily with these things. I think as we, as sons model their fathers' behavior, because again, that's who they need to model, that they may be seeing that. It's also a way for your son to maintain that independence from you. To say, I'm not, you know, if you know everything about me, then I will be too connected to you, I will be too fused with you, and I will not be able to maintain that independence. So that might be a way for that to happen also. Yeah?
It might also be true that that many women like to talk about their days in order to process it verbally. Even if it just sounds like narrative, it's some kind of interpretation. And that for many men, processing it in that way is not important or may even be somewhat threatening to them. So that, you know, it's you're really asking them, if you're asked about their day, to share something of themselves with you, and they, or maybe it will take them longer to do it, or maybe they will never want to do it. And I think that can be experienced as a form of violation of the relationship if what you expect is more intimacy than that. I mean, if that's what you want, you're not getting it, and you need to recognize that fact.
Right. Yeah. And I think that men and women who recognize that the woman's need is that, the woman's need is, I'm needing to maintain connection with you and this is how I'm doing it, and the man's need to maintain that separateness and this is how he's doing it. When you recognize that need, you may be able to then establish a system that is comfortable for both of you. Mm-hmm. That the man may share more what he feels comfortable with about his day, and so acknowledge his connectedness to that woman, the intimacy that they share. And the woman may then realize that if he doesn't share every intimate detail with her, that does not mean that he does not care that I am separate from you. And so there can be a balance there.
Nancy, so you don't think there's any genetic differences between men and women that account for this difference in disclosure, ability to converse, share?
I don't think it's genetic, aside from the fact that
partially genetic.
I really haven't gone into the genetics of it. I don't know if
I shouldn't be willing to say.
Yeah, I don't know what chromosome.
I have an opinion.
I don't know what chromosome that would be on. You know, which of those would it be?
Tell you everything out of consideration for you, because when I was first married to my husband, I used to say, how was your day? Oh, okay. And then I used to got in the habit of saying, now tell me really, how was your day? And after a while, you know, he kept telling me every day how his name was. And I said, why didn't you tell me to begin this? And he says, I didn't want to call you.
Sure.
You know, it could be that they just think, well, maybe you're bored with it or something.
Well, and I agree. I think that that is what the man, because that's not important to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that establish, again, for a woman, that's maintaining that connection. I'm intimate with you, and this shows that we're intimate. With the man, that's not his way of showing intimacy with you. He feels intimate with you because, and he doesn't need to share that to do that.
Oh, in response to the question about whether it's genetic or not, maybe is I don't believe that it's genetic, but I think from day two or three or whatever, it's men, just boys and men, and all the way up, just learn not to be able to tap their feelings. And I know from personal experience that's because I've associated a lot of young men, fraternity men in college, and army men, and you don't really talk about feelings ever, so you don't really know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think women are just more feeling and more sensitive, and they've communicated those things, and so then all of a sudden mm-hmm. two people come together, and you're just you're two different.
True.
You're upcoming, and that's communication. And like I say, my journey into expressing my feelings was first to learn which ones I had.
Right.
And which ones I had not been able to express.
Yeah.
And I think that's true for a lot of men.
Mm-hmm.
I really do, because I've had good friends, men friends, over the years that I've drank coffee with, and by golly, we don't get down to this other level of talk. We
right.
talk about ball games and, you know, things.
Yes, right.
So I think that's a big issue.
And that, maybe I should jump into what I wanted. Well, we can just talk about it then as a group, because I'm glad you brought that up. You were good at bringing up just those specific topics and what.
That was my feeling right then.
What do you talk about with your friends? You know, what are the topics that you talk about with your friends? And I was gonna divide. Is this, and I'll ask you what you would prefer to do. We can either do this as a big group, or we can get together in a small group and talk about this, and then bring it together back in a group. What are your drivers?
Big group.
Okay, so what are the things that you talk about with to your friends? I'd like to, because I believe like you do, that men and women talk about different things.
Well, those of us now who are doing everything on our own, we are, and in my particular age group,
mm-hmm.
we tend to talk about whatever is happening in the world, politics, economics. I mean, we can't get enough of that conversation because we were used to it with a deceased mate, and now we are sort of relying on one another. So it's not just, and literature, and what's happening in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
It is no longer gossip. It is not long, we don't discuss what's happening with children, maybe grandchildren.
Uh-huh.
But it's more of a, we try to keep a conversation more the way we had had it when our husbands were alive, with them.
Okay.
So it's nothing just, you know.
All right. What about those of you who are, whose husbands are still alive, and who are, you know, or who are doing that? What do you talk about? Because I think that's a good point, yes?
The group that I hang around with, or what have you, and friends, we talk a lot about small group dynamics, and primarily with the company that I work for. We're interested in who is now going to be the director of research, or who is conducting the research, and then we talk about, you know, what their qualifications are, what have they done, because a lot of our livelihood is still tied up in the company in the form of stock options and what have you. So we're interested in their philosophy of research, and their philosophy of science, and so we talk about a lot of small group dynamics.
Okay.
Sure.
All right.
I think that I do talk to my friends about relationships, and that this takes different forms at different stages in the life cycle,
mm-hmm.
and that I really, in a sense, I married relatively late, my mid-30s, and I miss talking about, you know, dating, and I mean looking for men, how's it going for you, and all that, you know, which is what I talked about in my 20s and early 30s. That was fun, and I miss it. willing to talk about my marriage that much with other people. I want to talk about my children, but a lot of my women friends don't want to talk. Nope, I mean, who wants to talk about their children besides other people who have children exactly my children's age, you know? That's what I really like to talk about. So, but then the people who have children my children's age don't have time to talk, you know? So that's probably,
you probably don't have an awful lot of time to talk either, Dorothy.
That's right. And so it's probably, you know, so, but, and so what I find us doing sometimes is, since we're looking for relationships to talk about that are really juicy, you know, and relational and intimate, we trade on our siblings. You know, we trade on our parents. You know what I mean? I mean, in a sense, it was like, I wear that I violate. You know, like, that I use my brothers and sisters and people, and you know, I've talked to you about this in a way, and we would sort of figure out then how we would feel about life by talking about my brother's divorce, you know, my sister's divorce,
right,
that kind of thing. Yeah. And we get, that's when we get down into those juicier issues, which is what I really want to talk about, but I don't want to talk about Mark. You know, so kind of, you know, it's kind of a search for intimate connection about those kinds of things.
All right. How, anybody else? I'm hoping a man will raise their
hand. Well, I will.
Okay.
I feel I should have met you long ago, because I find that I want to talk about my feelings with other men. But I find it difficult to do that, because I feel that when I do that, I am wearing my heart on my sleeve.
Uh-huh. And what do the other men want to talk to
same
you
thing.
About?
Sports. They do?
Well, okay. No, in a men's group. I joined a men's group about 8 weeks ago. And I'll tell you, once a week. And you get right, you get in small groups, and you really start talking.
Give us men.
But the other men.
Oh no, then I agree with him. That's what they
do. Sports, yeah.
Sports.
Actually, yeah, well, because most of my friends are in the church, and because our church has got a fair bit of problems, then we just sit around and talk about the problems in the church. So
okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a couple of good friends and male friends that my two closest, and what we primarily talk about our feelings.
Uh-huh.
And it's a real blessing. We can get together, we can call each other, and we can cry,
mm-hmm.
and not judge each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably doesn't fit on the right-hand column. What we're doing fits more in the left-hand
yes.
column,
mm-hmm.
but it's just a marvelous thing to be able to do that with another man and to feel safe
mm-hmm.
doing that and not feel that you have to talk about the male macho stuff, the sports and
right.
all that type of thing, that if you want to get down and talk really intimate feelings.
But before you met these friends who you felt safe with, the things that you talked about were those?
Right. Before I met them, I didn't know I had any feelings.
Mm-hmm.
It was all the other, the typical male things.
You know, so I was going to mention earlier, I don't remember, I wish I could remember exactly where I read this and what the statistics were and everything, but someone may be able to help me. There's something inherently incorrect about this independent male, because the statistics show that divorced women or single women are much happier in the long run than divorced or single males.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's a real mythology that you males have to carry around.
Divorced men are much more likely to die of heart attacks. They are almost equally as likely to die of heart attacks and circulatory diseases as men who have been smoking.
Two packs a day.
Yeah. So those two. I saw that statistic just real recently.
Is that true of divorced men who remarry?
No.
So divorced men who stay divorced.
And
so
I think part. But then, to me, that does lend credence to the other side of it. That very often the women do get some intimacy then from other women.
Yes.
You know, the single woman then does have more of a natural entranceway into
that way. She goes out, actually.
Look at your group of friends.
We solicit each other's company, companionship, so that we have this input with each other.
Yeah.
I think most of us men would be better off if we were like Harry and Alan and found ways to do this. But generally, whereas the weather is probably the easiest thing to start talking about, for most men, sports is a very simple thing to just start a conversation on. If they're on the job, of course, they can talk about the job. But the general big topics for bull sessions go on to politics, women, and religion.
Oh. Everybody else mentioned the sports, but you brought up the real thing.
You're not necessarily that ordered.
Right.
As opposed to real kind of relational sorts of things. When you talk about women, are you talking about your relationship with women, or are you talking about how your marriage is going, or how you're feeling about that, or is it more of a surface thing about? I'm just curious. I suspect that it's not the same kinds of things when we talk about men, that it's not the same kind of talk necessarily as it is when you talk about women.
Well, I don't know how you talk about men.
Okay. All right.
Well, I think, like, I talk to my women friends, mostly my women friends, about like the struggles that I'm going through and trying to decide, you know, what I'm doing with my life,
uh-huh.
and where my spiritual journey is going and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes when we talk about men, we talk about this very thing at the top of the list, this intimacy and independence thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that talking, I think, is not so much of a gossipy kind of a thing, but it also helps us to help us remind ourselves that yes, we are different, you know, that we have different needs about going about this being connected thing.
Right. Yes.
What I've heard so far, at the beginning of the session, everybody talked about the conversations you have with your significant other of the opposite sex and how what's he doesn't want to talk about the day that she does. And now it's same sex, what do you talk about with when the men's group gets together, when
mm-hmm.
the women's group or women friends. I'm feeling kind of odd here because classifying my best friend as female,
mm-hmm.
married female, it's a non-sexual mm-hmm. best friend relationship.
That's
is
great.
That, does that exist for anyone else?
Yeah, I mean, I've had men in my life that were really friends. I've enjoyed being friendly with them. I've even introduced them to my friends and said, that's the one if you do want to get married. That's the one for you to marry. And I remain your friend. I mean, I was always up front with people and said, you know, if you're thinking romanticism, forget it, but I do like you as an individual. So yes, you can maintain, and I think it's a wonderful relationship.
Did that relationship with your male friend, did he end up getting
he
married?
He certainly did. He married her, and it's been a very successful marriage.
But did your relationship with him continue after he was
Unfortunately
married?
Not, because they moved too far away to maintain it. But it would have continued. It could have continued. And I was married to a man who felt that he was enjoying life with me far more than being with his fraternity, you know, old fraternity brothers, army pals, whatever. And he was just not the kind of a guy that went out with the men. He would much prefer whatever we wanted to do, that we did it together.
I'm interested in what you find positive about that relationship. Do you see the differences in conversation that we're talking about, rapport and report, or does this relationship allow you to share, you know, the feelings that you don't feel like you can share with other men friends?
At this point, it's real hard for me to separate putting things into the nice, neat categories there, and how much is just environmental. In Holden Village here, it's a lot easier to take the chance to talk about feelings or spirituality than it would be in at work. And the different kinds of conversation.
Mm-hmm. So what kinds of conversation, what kinds of things do you guys talk about, you and your best friend?
Anything. Some things I'm not entirely comfortable with because I don't know that's particularly my business, but it's the kind of things she can't talk about with her husband because it's, I think they're too close. You know, why doesn't Marty like to do this in bed? That kind of stuff. And not that I know, but at least it's a male perspective instead of, because I'm sure, I shouldn't say I'm sure, but I think just the way she is, it's something she talks about with her girlfriends too. But you get a woman's perspective on.
And if you were her, and if you were his friend's girlfriend, and she would talk to you about why doesn't Marty do this in bed, would you feel uncomfortable about that?
What's the question?
Well, I guess you know he. Maybe I'm trying to pull things out of the air, but I talk about that kind of. I would talk about those kinds of things with my women friends, and that would just be kind of a natural part of the discussion. You know, we would just talk about, you know, everything, and. Very intimate kinds of details, and the discomfort would not necessarily be there. And I'm not, you know, saying that because you're male, that is a very intimate situation. But I think that, you know, intimacies are women just tend to go that way, and I think that men may feel more uncomfortable with that because. They enjoy that that close relationship, but they don't need that. You don't need to have that information. You would be fine just sharing with her. You don't need that to feel intimate with her. You can feel intimate with her just by talking.
And
about
so,
the day.
From my perspective, it's I don't know if it's my business. It's the battle between. Wanting to help, and how much is wanting to help, and how much is I shouldn't be hearing these things because they tread that line of the perception.
Maybe she should be talking to Marty about that.
Right. Well, if you had a man friend who was having some questions about how his girlfriend was in bed or whatever the topic was. How would you feel about him talking to you about her?
At this point, the same way, because I don't know.
By and large, men really do not want to share that information.
That's right.
Yeah. A lot of women wouldn't want to either, necessarily.
I don't share
too.
Sexual.
Yeah, I agree.
It spreads that ground, excuse me.
Yeah. I'm wondering if some of the young professional women today who are married and also trying to raise a family are going to have problems with getting their intimacy needs met with conversation, you know, with friends. And I'm thinking about myself in the past 20 years when I was so super busy professionally that in with raising a family, I truly didn't have time for close friends outside of my professional associates. And there are things that you just don't talk to professional associates about. That now that I have the freedom away from my profession and I can have a few close friends, I can see now how lonely I was by not having had that. But there just wasn't time. And I can see this occurring in one of my daughter-in-law's lives that has several small children and she has a very demanding professional job. And I'm just wondering if other women who are in that position of trying to do all of these things feel that need not being met.
Mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm. Andy, go ahead.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah.
ahead of us.
Yeah, you could, that it is almost a need. That it's, you know, like if you don't get enough water, if you don't get enough fruit, or if you don't get enough, you know, whatever.
It's emotional starvation.
Yes, yeah, that you can sense that. I wonder about men, you know, because that...
If there is anything genetic in this that has, you know, Darwinian or, you know, over time, selection of man and the survival of the fittest, that maybe did almost become genetic, that the man could cope mm-hmm. without this sharing feelings every night or every night unload, you know, to his wife about all the people that were bad at the office or whatever, mm-hmm. or the trouble he had looking at the tractor and in the fields, you know what I mean? And so that, and what Carol is saying is maybe a really concern with these younger women that, and this our daughter-in-law, that, I mean, they had three small children. And so, I mean, obviously she's very, very busy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If she's going to be the major breadwinner, well, I mean, that's a tremendous, sure. It's just the roles are completely flipped, you see, from what it used to be.
Right. And so at home, you know, again, at home, if some of she were able to, you know, if just a case in point, and I'm not trying to point out, but perhaps if at home her husband was able to, you know, supply or share, you know, when share some of the rapport kinds of information that she needs, like, you know, a flower needs light, that would be, you know, that would be in a way helpful mm-hmm. to her. Or that, you know, and if she was concerned about, well, I can't do this, and so my husband may not care for me, if she understood that was not the reason he wasn't doing that, that may be helpful for her, too.
I think I have a problem, and that is, it seems to me that sometimes I will get to know a woman and share with her some very intimate things, and I think of it as friendship. And then I get away and I wonder, wait a minute, she's being a woman. She's gonna talk freely with all her friends about this and spread all this. And so the whole element of trust between the sexes is involved and it's a real problem, I think. And it may have something to do with the separation between the sexes, because I think if a man pours out his heart to a woman, he's going to really feel betrayed if she has to tell her best friends.
But she doesn't. Yeah, she has you to communicate with.
Well, yeah. I'm just asking, is that...
She does not have to communicate these...
But some are compulsive talkers.
Don't you see
that? That's a
mystery. I think that... It's interesting, you know, compulsive talker, that she will need to, you know, that she will mm-hmm. have to tell her friends, you know, all of these things. And I don't want to, if that's what I'm communicating to you, then I'm sorry, because that's not what I'm trying to communicate. I think, though, what's happening is that's what you're hearing, that women have often been accused of being the one who talked the most, as opposed to the men. When, in point of fact, studies have shown that, especially in public situations, mm-hmm. that the man always, always talks more than the women do. Now, I haven't found that in this particular group, but in public situations and in forums and big groups, talk shows.
But what prompted my question was in response to Dan, you were intimating that this woman who was telling him these secret things that he wasn't comfortable with, this is the kind of thing that she should be telling her girlfriends about.
No, I would say that she should be talking with her husband about that.
Well, she said something about her girl.
Yeah.
Lady.
Don't you think that most women are very aware of other people's feelings? And if somebody tells you something, you sort of instinctively know that they would not like this to go out into the public. And I, from what I think of my friends and myself, I would never repeat anything like this.
Yeah.
You know, I would feel really bad about myself if I did it, because...
And if I really wanted to be sure that someone didn't say, you know, that this was an intimate thing and I didn't want it to be shared, I would say to even a close girlfriend, you know, I really, you know, I don't want this to be shared.
Yeah, that's right.
So that, just to make doubly sure that it is, that it's not shared. But it's interesting that the idea that women, you know, that women are the talkers. And I think at home, you know, in a private setting, what we see is that women do talk more.
Well, women have a network of friends with whom they talk.
They do more than just
talk. They do more than men because they share that connectedness with men.
Yeah, just the way that you said that just then, they talk, it, to me, I'm just going to tell you how it struck me. It struck me as that your image of it was kind of like empty talk. You know, talk that doesn't mean much. Women spend a lot of time, I think, doing this kind of talk that brings them closer together. And that's not just talk, you know.
Yeah.
That's stuff about talking what's going on, you know, inside here. And when you said it that way, I felt like you just think that we're out there just sort of like flapping our lips to, like...
I'm sure you're right, but I'm sure I've probably been spending too much time with the wrong kind of women.
what I really think is that for you, the things that women talk about are not interesting. The things that women talk about are not important, and they're not important to you. And I think for a lot of men, the things that women talk about are not important because they are relational, because they are sharing of those personal kinds of things. What a man is comfortable with talking about is, I'll report to you about, you know, sports, I'll talk to you about
the economy.
Let me give you information about, you know, what's been happening at work, let me tell you about the car. I will give you information. I will report to you, but the intimate kinds of things are not important because they don't feel like they need that to be intimate with someone, and that's part of it. The woman feels a need to share those things in order to maintain that intimacy. A man doesn't feel that. A man, I believe, and what some of the studies have said, feel intimate enough and feel uncomfortable if it becomes too intimate, oftentimes.
Then why have they started in certain areas groups for men to get together and reach out and display their emotions? And when one fellow can say to the other, it's okay to cry. Why else did God give us tear ducts like everybody else?
Yeah.
And if you want to embrace your son, embrace your son. If you want to embrace your dad, do it. If you want to relieve the pressure that's building up emotionally, please feel free to discuss it.
Right.
And I think men are really trying to do that, at least the younger men.
Right. Well, I think some of it has to do with that the women's movement has been very helpful with women in allowing them, they've always been over here, and allowing women to
go over there,
come more toward the center, and so they're becoming more balanced. Men are still, you know, oftentimes way over there. And I think the men's, and there is a need to become, I mean, if you're over here on that scale, you're tipped down over here. I mean, it's out of balance. And I think we're coming, you know, happily, we're coming to a point where maybe men, you know, maybe more coming into balance. I mean, like Jung said, you have the male and you have the female in you, and you need to acknowledge both of those. And if one is not acknowledged, stuff happens.
Yeah, and most or I shouldn't say most men, but a lot of men, and I could name all kinds of them, that, including myself, in other words, I moved over part way over there now. They don't know that. They don't even know that they need to get over there.
What they find,
they don't even know. You ask them how they feel, you won't find out how they feel.
That's why they have it.
Do the same categories and things fit for the other side of the conversation, the listening side? Do people want to hear? Do women want to hear?
Oh.
Intimacy or connection?
Yes.
Do men want to hear independent stories?
I think they do.
Why not?
I would think that men feel most comfortable in that setting, that we talk about independence and that we stay up there. Intimacy gets a lot, gets pretty close to that fusion. The danger for the man is becoming too intimate means that I am no longer independent and I'm no longer separate. And so there's that fear of getting stuck down there and not being able to get out. Whereas the woman, wow, that's great, I'm fused, I'm down here, this is wonderful. And if I don't have that, then I'm afraid I'll never get back there again.
So in order for a conversation to work, to sustain itself, we end up talking about things that someone's willing to listen to. Mm-hmm. In the case of the example of coming home at the end of the day,
yes.
How was your day? And he starts drifting away when she gives her half hour narrative on everything that went on.
Right. But if the man decides that in order for this conversation to have meaning and to have meaning for both of us, I need to remain connected for this period of time. Or for the woman to say, in order for me to make this conversation have meaning, I need to allow that the man may not want to share this information with me right now or ever, and that's okay, it doesn't mean we're separated. Then you can have that, you can acknowledge that meaningful conversation. So I think both men and women need to acknowledge the fact that that they may be coming at it, they may be seeking different goals in that conversation, and to respect and understand those goals, and not to be fearful that women need not to be, it's more helpful in maintaining connected conversation or connection if a woman isn't so afraid of separation. And at the opposite side, if a man isn't so afraid of connection, that helps.
That's on all levels, not just husband, wife, but.
Well, I think when we're talking about the workplace, we haven't even touched on the workplace at all. It's 11:30, and we're going to have to stop. But I think we will talk about that toward the end of the week, about, when you're in the workplace, what you say, it's not what you say, it's who says it, and there's some information about talking about that in the workplace, the difference there, that there is a difference.
There's another complication we haven't mentioned, that's the age groups, because for me, it's easier to talk with younger women than older women, even though I'm the old man.
And why do you suppose that is?
Women like old men.
Anybody? Why would you? Any men would care to postulate why?
I think that there's a social moray there, custom there that says that the older man is the benevolent, wise person who is able to communicate on an emotional level. They don't have anything to prove anymore. They sort of made it in life. They have achieved a
posture which is respectable with respect to society, and now they are most free then to deliver the wisdom of the ages to young, unsuspecting.
And in the meantime, your peers in the females have matured.
That's not discussion.
And they're not going to be there at the time.
But I see, I agree with you, and I'm glad that there's a here and here kind of situation. I would challenge you to all of us to communicate on an equal level with our peers also.
I have a question. I was wondering if, and maybe it isn't time to, but are there any studies that would show that we're talking about women talking to women, and they can talk at all the levels of superficiality all the way down, maybe pretty naturally. Now you go over to men, and they can talk